Good evening. Welcome to the Manasquan School District Regular Public Board of Education meeting for October 21st, 2014. Our call to order. Opening statement pursuant to NJSA 10:4-10. Notice of this meeting has been provided by publication in Asbury Park Press, the Co-Star, and posted in the Borough Hall of Manasquan and the schools within the time limits prescribed by law. Please join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance
to the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Sandy, roll call, please.
Mrs. Bassone?
Yes.
Mr. Campbell?
Here.
Mr. Clayton?
Here.
Mrs. DePalma? Mr. Fiore?
Here.
Mr. Gardner? Mrs. Garrett Muley? Mr. Pellegrino?
Here.
Mr. Serino?
Here.
Mr. Vitale?
Here.
Mr. Walsh?
Here.
Mrs. Walsh?
Here.
We have quorum.
Mrs. DePalma isn't feeling well, and Mrs. Muley is on her way. Our mission statement. Manasquan School District's mission is to empower students to reach their potential and become lifelong learners. We strive to ensure that students play an active role in their education, are guided by rigorous academic standards aligned with the New Jersey Core Curriculum Content Standards, and function within the community that regards students, educators, and parents as full participants in the educational process. We dedicate ourselves to the realization of a supportive learning environment that nurtures growth, personal integrity, and mutual respect. Our statement to the public. Oftentimes, it may appear to members of our audience that the Board of Education takes action with very little comment, and in many cases, by a unanimous vote. Before a matter is placed on the agenda at a public meeting, the administration has thoroughly reviewed the matter with the superintendent of schools. If the superintendent of schools is satisfied that the matter is ready to be presented to the Board of Education, it is then placed on the agenda at the next committee of the whole meeting. The members of the board work with the administration and the superintendent of schools to assure that they fully understand the matter. After the committee of the whole approves the matter, it is placed on the agenda for action at a public meeting. In rare instances, matters are presented to the Board of Education for discussion at the same meeting that final action may be taken. Acceptance of minutes. Recommend approval and acceptance of the minutes of the combined committee of the whole and regular public meeting and closed executive session of Tuesday, September 23rd, 2014. Executive session minutes will be withheld from disclosure until such a time as the reasons for discussing and acting on a matter in closed session no longer exist. Do we have a motion to approve the minutes?
Motion.
Second.
Mr. Campbell, seconded by Ms. Bassone. Sandy?
Mrs. Bassone?
Yes.
Mr. Campbell?
Yes.
Mr. Clayton?
Yes.
Mr. Fiore?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mr. Vitale?
Yes.
Mr. Walsh?
I have to abstain. I wasn't here.
Mrs. Walsh?
Yes.
Carried.
Thank you. I will now turn the meeting over to Dr. Cajun. We have some presentations.
If you go to the podium quickly. Quick screen now, please. To me, this is definitely the most enjoyable part of the meeting. Not that I don't like having a meeting with everyone, but having the ability to recognize those outstanding students who have accomplished either athletic or an academic or a civic focus on a commitment to Manasquan High School and also the staff is very pleasurable to me. So tonight, along with the certificate, you'll be receiving a $20 gift certificate to the beach house. Now, I hope to follow that tradition, but maybe we will and maybe we won't, according to donations that we receive for the student and the teacher of the month. Without further ado, our high school students of the month for the month of September. Carolyn Bellotti, a senior. Manasquan Board of Education would like to congratulate you. Could you please come forward? Carolyn. If Carolyn is not here, could you please stand up? Also, Joseph Wilder from our junior class. Joseph? The Manasquan Board of Education congratulates the high school students of the month of September. From our sophomore class, Caitlin Calabro. Caitlin. Kate will be receiving all of the gift certificates that we had for the other people who were not here this evening. Caitlin, the microphone is yours. Thank you very much. Mom, if you want a picture, please stay around for pictures, so I'd like the newspaper to take some pictures just in case you can get them in the newspaper. And also, the Manasquan Board of Education would like to congratulate our freshman student of the month, Terrence Mahan. Terrence? Share your gift certificate. Terrence, congratulations. Would you like to say something? Someone would like to say something. Our high school teacher for the month of September, Claire Kozik. Claire, please come forward. Also our director of the Health Careers Academy. You're just awesome. Thank you very much for being here. Thank you, Claire. I hope we got that on record.
I can say it louder.
Truly do a superlative job.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Exactly.
Our elementary school student of the month for September, Catherine Ware. Catherine? Thank you very much for being here. And I'm not going to ask you to say something. I mean. The Manasquan Board of Education would like to congratulate Thomas Sheehan. And I would like to read something about Thomas. Tonight, we're congratulating Thomas for his commitment to Notre Dame. 2017 graduate. Thomas Sheehan has committed to play baseball at the University of Notre Dame. Notre Dame plays baseball in Atlantic Coast Conference. On the top of their athletic reputation, Notre Dame ranks as one of the top academic universities in the country. The Irish will be entering second year in the ACC play and have won 30-plus games twice in the last 4 years under fifth-year coach Mike Aoki. Is that correct?
Yes.
Thomas, the Board of Education wants to congratulate you for your fine athletic accomplishments and athletic accomplishments, because Notre Dame is a wonderful academic university. Congratulations. Thank you. The Monmouth County Manasquan Board of Education would like to congratulate Terry Trumpour, our elementary school art teacher. She's been awarded the Claire Flanagan Memorial Award and the Youth Art Monmouth Award of Excellence. As you can see, this is the picture that's in the magazine that came out this month, and I hope that each board member received the essay she wrote. I had it placed in your folder. Congratulations. We're very proud of you and your accomplishments.
Fight for the arts. I know that in the fiscal times that it is, that sometimes the arts, but the arts are our best public relations. We see so much in our schools that the children are doing, and it opens up our children's minds. It's a non-judgmental area. There's so many right and wrong answers, and I feel that we have to keep children thinking. There's a book called Sparks of Genius by Dr. Robert Bernstein. He cites Albert Einstein, Pascal, all the physicists, and he actually found pieces of artwork that they did. And it said, and Albert Einstein himself said that if he didn't have art, he wouldn't have been able to have thought out of the box as much as he did. So we have to really give a lot to the arts.
Before you sit down, one more thing for the arts.
Yes.
Margaret Wheatley had a great quote focusing on the arts, that education is painted with a multicolored palette using a broad brush, inclusive of the arts and humanities. I was going to go, Jesse, otherwise. So the arts are very important, and we'll, as far as long as I'm here, we will have a strong focus on the arts. So congratulations.
Thank you, Dr. Cage.
Can we take a picture of all those who received awards this evening?
Chris?
Chris?
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Tonight, it's really a nice thing for you of all to do this. Having gone to school here and lived in a community like many of you here, it's really nice of you to do this. But I also wanted to say, you know, following things in the paper, I hate to see the critical comments that are made about any board member, because I see how much time you people give up of your time. And you make this a great school for kids to go to school and a great community. And I just want to thank all you people for giving up your time, because it's not easy on a Wednesday night and all the other nights that you spend doing this. So for my family, I just appreciate all that you do and what you do to make this school a great place. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Do we have students here this evening who will represent the student body on the school board?
Yes.
And you have to take an oath. Are you the only student, Craig, who's here tonight?
I believe so.
Okay. Before we go into our executive, could we give the oath? Is that possible? Sandy and Lynn?
Thank you.
You're going to have to come up here. Come on.
Craig.
Craig?
Craig.
Yes.
Here you go.
You can stand at the microphone and. Are you giving the oath? Then, okay.
I will be reading the oath, and then you can repeat after me. Okay, if you wouldn't mind raising your right hand. I state your name.
I, Craig Lapham.
Do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States.
Do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
And the Constitution of the State of New Jersey.
And that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
And to the governments established in the United States and this state.
And to the government established in the United States and this state.
Under the authority of the people, so help me God.
Under the authority of the people, so help me God.
I state your name.
I, Craig Lapham.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I possess the qualifications prescribed by law for the student liaison of a Board of Education.
That I possess the qualifications prescribed for the student liaison to the Board of Education.
And that I will faithfully, impartially, and justly perform all of the duties of that office.
And that I will faithfully, impartially, and justly perform all the duties of that office.
According to the best of my ability, so help me God.
According to the best of my ability, so help me God.
Thank you very much.
Craig, now you sit with us, right?
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Okay. We have to go into an executive session. I'm going to read that proclamation now. It would be approximately 30 minutes, and it couldn't be avoided. We had to have it first. Normally, we would have it at the end so as to not make people wait, but tonight it couldn't be avoided. Whereas the Senator Byron M. Baer Open Public Meeting Act, NJSA 10:4-6 et seq., the Act provides that the Manasquan Board of Education may hold an executive session from which the public is excluded to discuss matters that are confidential or are one of the nine subject matters listed in Section 12B of the Act. And whereas it is recommended by the superintendent that the Manasquan Board of Education go into executive session on this date in Manasquan, New Jersey, to discuss matters that are permissible for discussion in executive session. And whereas the length of the executive session is estimated to be 30 minutes, after which the public meeting of the board shall reconvene and proceed with business. And whereas the board hereby declares that its discussion of the following subjects will be made public at a time when the public's interest in disclosure is greater than any privacy or governmental interest being protected from disclosure. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Manasquan Board of Education that the board shall go into an executive session to discuss the following items. Number one, confidential matters per statute of court order, on court order, And that's a student matter. And number seven, litigation or contract matters or attorney-client privilege. Items discussed in closed session may result in board action when the board reconvenes to public session. Do we have a motion to go into closed session?
Motion.
Mr. Campbell, seconded by Mrs. Walsh. All those in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Okay.
We will adjourn to that room.
Thank you.
She's doing good. She's feeling well. They said it's a 5-star.
Motion placed on roll call.
I have garlic for time.
Okay. We will now reconvene the public session. Sandy, could we take another roll call?
Mrs. Bassoun?
Yes.
Mr. Campbell?
Yes.
Mr. Clayton?
Yes.
Mr. Fiore?
Here.
Mrs. Garrett Muley?
Here.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Here.
Mr. Serena?
Here.
Mr. Vitale?
Here.
Mr. Walsh?
Here.
Mrs. Walsh?
Here.
Quorum.
Thank you. We'll now move on to number nine, our superintendent's report and informational items.
Thank you. I would like to start tonight's superintendent's report by focusing on a question that was asked to me during the last Board of Education meeting. Mr. Dennis Roberts questioned me pertaining to the random drug testing committee being opered and discoverable, the minutes of those meetings. I told Mr. Roberts that I would review the minutes from June 18th, June 9th, August 6th, and October 8th to focus on an answer for that particular question pertaining to if our board attorney had given information to our chair of the random drug testing committee, Judge Apostolou, in regards to having the ability to Oprah committee meeting minutes from the RDT committee before the conclusion of that particular meeting. And he felt that two different answers to that question were given. I'm going to just focus for a minute on the notes from June 18, 2014, and read a section of those minutes before I answer the question. He said that the group is a subcommittee of the Board of Education and therefore are not subject to public scrutiny. We're talking about the judge focusing on this question. He believes that there will not be members of the public that will be attending the sessions. He said that there would be more than four board members attending the sessions. Therefore, there will not be a quorum, and therefore we are not subject to the Open Public Records and Meeting Act. Prior to accepting the chair position, Judge Apostolou said he spoke with Ms. Laprete on the above conditions and she conferred with the board attorney, and these are legal opinions issued by the attorney. On July 9th, focusing on that same concept, Judge Apostolou said from the outset when he was first asked to chair the committee, he asked the then superintendent to please contact the attorney and ask if our discussions are private or subject to review or OPR. If there was the opinion of the board attorney that our discussions are secret and not discoverable, he said that this will allow us to rest at ease. Not that we are here to slight any human being, that our personal viewpoints as we express to one another should be secret. Then, as we move to the minutes from October 8, 2014, Judge Apostle said it was his initial understanding that as an ad hoc committee, everything said in committee would remain private. However, he learned the other day in discussion with the board attorney that once a recommendation is made to the Board of Education, all the complied minutes will be discoverable, and he wanted to disclose this to the committee members. In essence, what I just read to you were excerpts from several committee meetings whereby the judge just spoke to the board attorney once, and he spoke to the board attorney for the October 8th meeting. I was there when the judge spoke to our board attorney, and that's what our board attorney told him. Before that, he was assuming some knowledge that had never actually been given to him. I hope I answered that question. Any questions from the board? From all your looks, I either confused you immensely or we understand the answer to the question. Good?
Well, but I thought it was that Judge Pasta was told
Judge Apostolou only spoke...
But not by Mr. Gross.
Only spoke to Michael once, and that was for the October 8th meeting. He received that information from his viewpoint from the past administration, who I think did a wonderful job at Manasquan before I came. So I'm not demeaning anyone, I'm just reading from the exact minutes. Okay, having said that, also, I wanted to read a School Violence Awareness Week, Ribbon Weeks, recommended for approval of the following resolution to designate October 20th through October 31st as School Violence Awareness Week or Red Ribbon Week. Would you like to read that, Tom?
Sure.
Okay. Board President will read it.
Whereas the Manasquan Board of Education values the health and safety of all our students, and whereas substance abuse is particularly damaging to one of our most valuable resources, our children, and a contributing factor in the three leading causes of death for teenagers, accidents, homicides, and suicides. And whereas it is the goal of School Violence Awareness Week, Red Ribbon Weeks, and the Manasquan School District to involve families, schools, businesses, churches, law enforcement agencies, and service organizations in all aspects of this campaign, and establishes an atmosphere that supports awareness, education, and ongoing initiatives to prevent illegal drug and alcohol use. And whereas the School Violence Awareness Week, Red Ribbon Weeks campaign theme promotes family and individual responsibilities for living healthy, drug-free lifestyles without illegal drugs and alcohol, or the illegal use of drugs and alcohol, and whereas the Manasquan School District shall plan activities in conjunction with Red Ribbon Week campaign, which supports awareness, education, and promoting a healthy lifestyle for the students and the families of the Manasquan School District. School Violence Awareness Week. Since 2003, schools and districts have been observing School Violence Awareness Week during the week beginning with the third Monday in October, which is October 20th through the 24th, as required by NJSA 18A:36-5.1, to help school districts, charter schools, and approved private schools for students with disabilities comply with the requirements for School Violence Awareness Week, the New Jersey DOE has provided guidance that is available online at the website you see here. The week with respect. Additionally, the Anti-Bullying Bill of Rights Act requires that the week beginning with the first Monday in October, October 6th through the 10th in 2014, of each year be designated as a week of respect in New Jersey. School districts and charter schools, but not approved private schools for students with disabilities, in order to recognize the importance of character education, are required to observe the week by providing age-appropriate instruction focusing on preventing harassment, intimidation, or bullying. Several resources were provided by the New Jersey Department of Education.
Now I'd like to focus on enrollment. Enrollment for September. The elementary school. Do you want to do that one? I was going to do that one. I'll do that.
Do we have a motion for the resolution in reference to School Violence Awareness Week and Red Ribbon?
Move.
Mrs. Bazone, seconded by Mr. Campbell. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you.
No roll call. Good. Enrollment. The elementary school, 619 students. The high school, inclusive of our shared students, 1,007. Our total enrollment, 1,626 as of today. Regarding our attendance comparison, fire drill reports, suspensions, and tardy reports. For our comparison of our district attendance, in September 2013, our attendance percentage in the high school was 96.4. For September 2014, is 96.14. The state requirement for attendance is 93%. At the elementary level, in September 2013, our attendance percentage was 98.2%. As of now, September 2014, it's 97.8%. As well as at the elementary level, it's still 93% is the required attendance for school systems. In regards to our fire drills, at the high school, we had a fire drill on September 4th at 9:30 a.m. September 23rd, we had a lockdown drill at 8 a.m. At the elementary school, September 9th at 8:45, we had a fire drill. And September 25th, we had a lockdown drill for the interior at 10:10 a.m. We used to have two fire drills required a month. Now we have a fire drill and a safety drill required every month by statute. Our harassment, intimidation, and bullying report. We had 8 focuses on harassment, intimidation, and bullying. At the high school, we had 3 that were found to be not considered harassment, intimidation, and bullying. And we had 3, as reported, where harassment, intimidation, and bullying occurred, where counseling and detentions took place. That all occurred in the high school. And we did go over those in the committee of a whole. Are there any further questions about them? That concludes my report, unless there are questions.
Do we have a motion to accept the superintendent's report? Mrs. Walsh, seconded by Mr. Pisano.
Sandy?
Mrs. Pisano?
Yes.
Mr. Campbell?
Yes.
Mr. Clayton?
Yes.
Mr. Fiore?
Yes.
Mrs. Garrett Muley?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mr. Vitale?
Yes.
Mr. Walsh?
Yes.
Mrs. Walsh?
Yes.
Carrying.
The student board representative report, I told Mr. Lapham he could go home since he didn't have dinner, and I didn't think he should wait around an hour for us. So he left behind this for me to read. Manasquan High School Key Club has already this year participated in Brielle Day, the Spring Lake Kitchen Tour, the Big Hearts to Little Hearts Walk, and the Coaster Derby, which was in Brielle, assisting the Scouts. Their new business, or business coming up, they are looking for students interested in volunteering at Jersey Shore Medical Center. They are helping out this Saturday at the Sea Guard Army Camp with the Just Us Girls 5K run. And they are tutoring and homework helpers at the Manasquan Elementary School on Wednesdays and Thursdays after school with the Spanish-speaking students on Wednesdays. They are involved in the Thanksgiving food drive. All members must bring in 10 cans or boxes during the months of November, stuffing, vegetables, cranberry sauce, etc. And they will also be selling their holiday wreaths again this year. Mr. Lapham will be back next month with a more comprehensive report. We are now to our first public forum on agenda items. Time may be allocated for public comment at this meeting. Each speaker may be allowed a limited time when recognized by the presiding officer. In the event it appears the public comment portion of the meeting may exceed 45 minutes, the presiding officer may limit each statement made by a participant to 3 to 5 minutes duration. Individuals wishing to address the board should be recognized by the presiding officer, shall give their names, addresses, and group, if any, that they represent. Although the board encourages public participation, it reserves the right through its presiding officer to terminate remarks to and or by an individual not keeping with the conduct of a proper and efficient meeting. During the public participation portions of this meeting, the board will not respond to questions from the public involving employment, appointment, termination of employment, negotiations, terms and conditions of employment, evaluation of the performance of, promotion or disciplining of, any specific or prospective or current employee. This public forum is limited to comment on items included in this agenda only. Would anybody like to address the board?
Good evening. Can I address the board since...
I don't know if that's on, Dennis.
Dr. Cation addressed it in his superintendent's report.
Down in front, there's a red button. You're not on, Dennis.
Now appropriate?
I'm sorry?
Can I address the board now regarding Mr. Gross issues since Mr. Cation...
You can address the board. I don't know.
He's asking if it's because he discussed...
It's on the agenda. Yeah, that's fine. It was part of the superintendent's report.
Thank you.
Dennis, I don't think that's on.
I just turned it on.
No, in the front, there's a red button.
The bottom on the front. There you go. Got it?
No.
Well, we can hear.
Yeah, that sounds like it went.
Or you could use this.
Red light's on. This light's on.
Okay.
We should.
Yeah, I think it's on.
I think you're good.
Get a little closer to.
Oh, I don't know.
It's not on.
Dennis Roberts, 2311 on Drive. Good evening. After the meeting last week, I sent out an email to the entire board addressing some issues that I had brought up at the last meeting. And I was hoping that you all got that. I only heard back from Mr. Walsh, and I appreciate that response, Mr. Walsh, that you did receive it. I didn't hear it from anyone else, but I suppose that you did get it, and I hope you did, and you looked at the contents of that email. Mr. Pellegrino, a few times while I was wrapping up my address last week, you interjected that it was my opinion, the things that I was stating, and I just wanted to clarify a few things, that it is a fact and not my opinion, that in September of 2013, Mr. Gross had advised the Mr. LaPrete and the board that you were compliant in the SGS policy. It was proven through the court system up to the Supreme Court of New Jersey that SGS was illegal and unenforceable, while Mr. Gross was advising the Mr. LaPrete and the board that it was a legal policy. We all know what happened to SGS. That was not it was not my opinion, that was a fact. It is a fact and not my opinion that in December of 2013, Mr. Gross advised the board that they were in compliance with an RDT policy with a few amendments that had been made at the time. The RDT policy was stopped December 3rd. It was reinstated December 19th with a few minor changes. It was reinstated at that time. It was tried to be reinstated at that time, but there were many issues with the policy, of course, that we brought forth, and it was not completely implemented, but it was voted on to be reinstated. I'd like to read an email from Mr. Gross to Mrs. LaPrete, dated December 9, 2013. In part, it says, and they're talking about, Mr. Gross is talking about Matt Franz of SportSafe. His answer means that the labs they use are not New Jersey certified, and that seems to be inconsistent with the regulations. That could be a problem, not with the idea of random testing, but in continuing to use this company. My point is that at that time, they were going to reinstate the RDT policy using this very same vendor who was found to be not in compliance with New Jersey law or New Jersey codes. He admitted in the Skype meeting to me and many others that he had never seen New Jersey code until that the day before that Skype meeting. Mr. Gross charged a lot of money and spent a lot of time on the RDT policy up until that December of 2013 date.
He was directed to do that by the board.
That's correct. And would you think not that with all the time and money spent that you'd be able to bring forth a compliant policy at that time? So that's my issue with that. After spending all that time and all that effort, still not in compliance, still paying Mr. Gross a lot of money. It is a fact, Mr. Pellegrino, and not my opinion, that New Jersey Administrative Code states that the school must pay for all tests and retests for random drug testing. We proved that. We discussed it many times at many meetings in the past. A written confirmation from Mr. Belluccio from an email dated December 13, 2013. Under this code provision, this is an email from Frank Belluccio, the director of the SBA, New Jersey SBA, to me directly. Under this code provision, the district would be responsible for the costs and retests, for tests and retests that it orders as part of the random drug testing program. You are correct in stating that if a parent were to contest the results, he or she would be responsible for the testing at that time. But the school is responsible for all tests and retests. Mr. Gross stated to the school that they have a right to charge for the retest. That was improper and against New Jersey code, as I stated back then. Now we move on to the RDT issue, which that has kind of been the straw that broke the camel's back for me. What I'm about to read is a fact, again, and not my opinion. Let me go to the minutes from June 18th. Mr. Apostolou states, at our meeting of RDT, Mr. Apostolou said that there would be no more than four board members attending the sessions. Therefore, there will not be a quorum, and therefore we are not subject to the Open Public Records Meeting Act. Prior to accepting the chair position, he spoke with Mrs. LaPrete on the above conditions and she conferred with the board attorney that these are legal opinions by the attorney. Next meeting, July 19, 2014, Mr. Apostle continues, and he says, from the outset, he was first asked to chair the committee. He asked the superintendent to please contact the attorney and ask if our discussions are private or subject to review of OPRA. It was the opinion of the board attorney that our discussions are secret and non-discoverable. He said that this will allow us to rest at ease, not that we are here to slight any human being, that our personal viewpoints, as we express to one another, should be secret. He said that at some point in time, we propose a finding. That finding, if it is given to the board and read to the board meeting, will be discoverable, but any meetings that we have will not be. He goes on to say that what goes on here, like Vegas, stays in the media center. Now, at our last board RDT meeting, which I stated at the last meeting here, those things have changed. It is a continuing pattern of, from Mr. Gross directives, not a directive, Mr. Gross, advisements that one thing happens and another then takes place, and it continues to change. So my question tonight is, how did we get from where we were with the minutes that I read and the directive, the advisements that were given, how are we at this point in the RDT committee that now everything is discoverable?
Dr. Cage, you'll answer.
Thank you. Where we are with that was because of a meeting that was held with Judge Apostolou, myself, and our vice president, who's not here this evening, was there as well. We have weekly president and vice president meetings. And at this particular meeting, the president wasn't there, the vice president was, and the judge asked to call our attorney and focus on this question because he wasn't sure of it. The answer he got is what you have just read. That was what he got. Before that, as you did read, he said that he asked somebody else to be in contact with the board attorney, and they gave their opinion. He was only in touch with Michael Gross once, and that was right before that last meeting that you have just read about, the October 8th meeting. Now, there's a difference between minutes that are operable and things that are discoverable. Not everything that's said within the confines of committee meetings should or can be made public if they're confidential. Most committees write conceptual minutes, not verbatim. We decided as a committee, if you remember, to do minutes that were verbatim in the very beginning, which means that every word that was said was being written down, and that person who was saying it was being attributed with having said that. Then later on, we decided that we would make them conceptual. Conceptual minutes protect those within the meeting just in case something said that shouldn't become public, whatever that might be, and you could use your imagination. So there's a difference between Oprah minutes and discovery. I think your point is that did Mr. Gross give two different opinions to Judge Apostolou? Judge Apostolou only spoke to Michael Gross once.
Dr. Cajun, I totally disagree between operable and discoverable and about verbatim minutes and not.
Dennis,
verbatim.
I'm not a lawyer. Yeah,
it's irrelevant. Lawyer. My question is for you, Mr. Gross. Did you have an opinion back then that this was not operable, the RDT minutes were not operable, and has that changed?
I'm not going to answer your question.
Why not?
He's not. That's not how the conversation.
Engage in a conversation.
Yeah, that's not how the conversation. You have to direct your questions to me. That's you.
Okay, Tom, how did it change?
I think Dr. Cajun just explained exactly how it changed.
No, it did not. He explained whether they were operable or discoverable. No, it has nothing to do with what I'm talking about.
No, well, if you listen to what he said, it does. He's explaining. Mr. Gross spoke to Judge Apostolou one time. The first advice that was given was supposedly given secondhand to someone else, not from Mr. Gross. That's where we are today.
Okay. So what is Mr. Gross's opinion today?
My understanding is the Random Drug Testing Committee, when it makes a recommendation to the board, the meetings will be then open. They're in a deliberative state now, once the deliberation is over, that the committee meetings will be open. I don't know why that's important, but that's my understanding of it.
I just read for you excerpts from minutes that told you that they would never be open.
Well, then someone made a mistake.
Can I just answer that?
Someone made a mistake.
Can I answer that question, Dennis?
Sure.
All right, thank you. From the October 8th minutes, Judge Apostol said it was his initial understanding that as an ad hoc committee, everything said in committee would remain private. The judge is saying this, and this is taken right from the minutes, that it was his initial understanding. However, he learned the other day in discussion with the board attorney that once a recommendation is made to the Board of Education, all of the compiled minutes will be discoverable, and he wanted to disclose this to the committee members. So he was...
You're reading now minutes from...
The ones that you have. Your exact minutes. I got the same ones, because I told you I would answer that question for you tonight, and I would do it with the minutes, and I did. Unfortunately, I should have waited until you came, because I, in essence, used the same minutes that you used. And the judge was misinformed, but he wasn't misinformed by Michael Gross. That's the facts that I've ascertained.
So what we're saying today is that now Rene Laprete is a liar.
No. I never said anything about Rene Laprete. Well, I don't know why the judge has been sitting on.
Then Judge Apostol is a liar.
No, I'm not saying anybody's a liar. I'm reading
from
minutes.
Someone is lying, Dr. Cation. It's evident someone is lying. Now there's constant victims around here. Okay. I have kids in this school, have had kids in this school. I don't know how many of you have kids in this school, but I keep dealing with this same garbage over and over again, and so I have to come up here and spew the evidence because no one wants to listen to anything.
Dennis, are you saying that I'm not listening? Is that what you're telling me?
No, I didn't.
Okay, well, that's why I'm addressing this evening. I'm trying to answer the question you posed to me. I did focus on who was telling the truth. Judge Apostol did make a statement. We were there, where he said they were not operable in the very beginning, or discoverable. I remember that.
You remember at the last meeting, Doc.
I sure did. I remembered it, and I said, I wanted to go back into the notes and see for sure, because I wanted to read verbatim.
Do you see the issue here, and you see the cloud that exists, and you see the misinformation that comes through Mr. Gross?
All I know, Dennis, is what I've seen since July 1, and I have listened. And I am moving forward.
You're moving forward, and we keep saying we're moving forward.
With transparency.
Move forward too, but moving forward is like, let's just cover everything up.
No. Now you're saying I'm covering things up? Dennis, please.
No, I'm not saying you are. I'm saying when we say we're moving forward and we don't address the things that have happened, okay? And this nonsense.
But, Dennis, maybe you don't agree with how I'm addressing them. Okay, but they are being addressed.
Do we see that somewhere in here there's an untruth? There has to be. Is there not?
I didn't ask Mark why he thought this.
Oh.
But Mark did make a statement in the notes that I read tonight that he was informed that this was the case. But he didn't say by whom. He said the administration. That's what's in the notes.
Do you see all the issues?
But I don't think anybody was trying to misinform anybody and cloud an issue.
I didn't say that.
Okay.
But I'm saying that we're getting advice from an attorney that gets said to us that is now we're doing 180 degrees different. It's just a continual pattern here that I've laid out.
The only time Judge Apostol spoke to Michael Gross was in my presence on the phone. He received information before from other people,
Dr.
pertaining Cain, to that question.
By saying what you're saying now,
yes,
either Judge Apostol is lying or Rene Laprete is lying.
Can it be a miscommunication?
Can someone make a mistake?
Hold on. Can it be a miscommunication? Can it be that
they were just
Apostol
giving their opinion?
Thought,
no, because
can't,
I was
hold on,
there.
Hold on, Dennis. Hold on. Can it be that Judge Apostol thought this? He found out later on it was wrong by talking to Michael Gross and relayed that back out. Can it be that? Does it have to be a cover-up? I mean, can it just, honestly, I'm not trying to challenge anybody.
I didn't say it was a cover-up. I'm saying it's misinformation.
Can it be just an honest mistake?
How many honest mistakes can you make? This is simplistic.
It's not.
Dennis, this goes, to me, it goes.
No, you understand? It's me. It's my fault. It's me bringing up another issue.
I'm a victim.
Hey. My family's a victim. Do you have any kids here? You're a victim? Have you gone through any of this?
I have three kids.
We're going to keep the discussion.
I have three kids in the school discussion. System, all right? And all the stuff that's happened, I think, is absolutely ridiculous. But the fact that it's continuously, quote-unquote, a cover-up, and it's continually somebody trying to lie and deceived and so that's not what I've seen. I came in from the outside, point blank. I wasn't in bed with anybody. I didn't know anybody. I really knew very few people who were on this board. And from what I've seen since I came on this board, he's a pretty fair guy.
Yeah,
from the meetings that I've been in and what I've seen, what I've heard, and decisions that have been made and the advice we've been given, I think it's been pretty fair.
Mr. Serena, how do you feel? How do you think that I feel standing before you saying this tonight? Do you think I'd want to be here tonight?
I don't know. I really don't.
Do you think the facts, these are not opinions, the facts that I have laid out time and time again, do they hold any weight around here?
Yeah, they've been discussed. Some of the things that you've discussed and you have brought to this board has stopped random
broadcasts. But why do I have to come and fight for it?
Whoa, don't yell.
Why do I have to come and fight and say, this is the fact, this is
the fact? Mr. Roberts.
That's my point, Mr. Serino.
Mr. Roberts.
It's time and time again.
We're not going to raise our voice.
I apologize.
If we're going to continue this conversation, which has gone way longer than we should be going.
It's only been a few minutes, Tom.
I know how long it's been. We all know how long it's been. But we're not going to raise our voice. If you have a point, I need you to get to it.
And I'm trying to make it.
Okay.
And by...
By raising your voice, you're not making your point.
But when you're standing where I am, it's a different perspective.
I understand. You're frustrated. We get that.
Okay?
Dennis.
How many times have I come... Time and time again, and I get dismissed. My wife gets dismissed, and others get
dismissed.
No one's
dismissed.
The kids get dismissed.
No one's dismissed.
They do.
Okay.
Until we argue cases, does it get changed?
Okay.
Now, Dr. Cation,
Dennis,
yes, I
have
know
not
it's different.
Dismissed anyone.
I know that.
Okay.
And I agree with that.
Thank you.
But what I'm bringing forward is the same thing
yes.
that I've been talking about.
Yes. And that's why I think it's very important that we allow you a forum. But you know Robert's rules as well as I do. Direct confrontation with board members doesn't do any of us any good.
No, it doesn't.
And I really believe, I believe, Dennis, I really do, that you want to see the best for Manasquan. I really do. Our private conversations, you've said that. And I really believe you feel that we are turning a corner. And that's going to take some time. But as I've said before, we can move forward with the knowledge of the past so we don't make those mistakes again. And that's how I have to view it.
I am not out for Mr. Gross's hide. I am out
for
truth and justice and what is right. And there's been countless mistakes. And by saying what we're saying tonight, then someone is fabricating something.
Well, someone was misinformed. Let's say that, Dennis.
Dennis, all I was going to say is, honestly, I think your beef, and it's completely legitimate, was with a prior board. And since Frank and Len and I think we've turned a corner. And I think the culture change here, people like yourself and Michelle Asala and Jeannie Patillo, they've been instrumental in that. So we don't just arbitrarily dismiss you or Grace or I mean, your frustration is palpable. We all feel it, but you're not just dismissed out of hand.
I understand.
And that's
that.
The truth.
And it's been a tough road. And I believe that we have turned a corner. And I want the best for this school and this district. But I will not sit idly by when things like this happen. And that's my point.
Thank you.
Grace Roberts, Lebanon Drive, Riel. I just want to say that whatever happened with the discrepancies with the RDT committee, it appears that the committee was told one thing several times and that what they said would be confidential. And now all these months and many meetings later, it's been reversed and it's really not fair to anybody that sat in that room and was told they could speak from their heart and say whatever was on their minds because it would stay in that room. So it's a really unfortunate mistake that has happened. And to try and clarify a little bit that this is a pattern, and I was in the room in September of 2013 when my husband and I met with Mr. Gross and Ms. LaCree about the SGS policy, and Mr. Gross assured us it was compliant and it was legal. And we knew it wasn't, and we knew it was rejected all the way up to the Supreme Court, and we had to fight. Those are my very first board meetings that we ever came to fight for that program to be ended, and it was. And the whole RDT committee thing has been very frustrating. What my husband said about the charging the parents, about reenacting the program 2 weeks after it was rescinded with conditions. The more we researched, the more we found out what was wrong with it. In March, it might have been February, I think it was March, this board here was going to reinstate that program and had a first reading of it with seemingly very little things corrected. Some paperwork, reinstating a phone call. Mr. Gross was the lawyer then, and he was going to let this board do that. And there were still so many things wrong with that program, and we had to fight, and it was not, and then it was suspended. That's where this frustration comes from. There's a lot of one thing that gets said, and another thing gets said. I'm sorry for all this turmoil. There is a great amount of frustration on our side, and we do feel like we have to fight to be heard and fight to get our issues across. So for whatever it's worth, it's a real shame what happened in the RDT committee. And those people maybe said something that they don't want to be made public that now can be. And so to say, you know, for my husband to use the word victim, maybe that's how they might feel. You know, they were told that that would be confidential, and now maybe something very personal was said, and anyone can read it if they wanted to open it.
Can I ask some clarity that maybe I think I know the answer and might make someone feel a little bit better? Not great, I get it. Told one thing, another's now on the table. And I don't think it's necessarily, I think there's legalities when we talk about the proper Robert Rules of Order and all these things, that even if it was said, which we see in the minutes it was, I don't think that they can adhere to that. But if there was ever anything said about anyone's child, family situation, that would be blacked out even if it was Oprah'd, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, I don't know what's been said, nothing's been shared with me, but if that would be a concern, that would be a concern of mine, that if I came out and I'm in a committee and I'm pouring my heart about something that happened with my child and I use names or I use situations, that would be blacked out. Correct? Children? Anything? Okay. Might make you feel a little bit better.
I appreciate that, for whatever it's worth, but it's a shame that one thing was said, and all these months later, something else was said. And it has been a pattern, and it has been something we've had to be up here repeatedly for. We had to, you know, my kids would have been a victim of that SGS if we didn't fight to have that removed. And they would have been a victim of the ongoing RDT committee, which we've been fighting since November of last year. So that's where all this comes from. That's the bigger picture.
Thank you.
Seeing no one else, move on to the Manasquan general items. We have items 12 through 23. Does anyone need anything separated out, 12 through 23? Do we have a motion for items 12 through 23?
Second.
Mr. Campbell, seconded by Mrs. Pisone. Any discussion on items 12 through 23? Sandy?
Mrs. Pisone?
Yes.
Mr. Campbell?
Yes.
Mr. Clayton?
Yes.
Mrs. Garrett Muley?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mr. Walsh?
Yes.
Mrs. Walsh?
Yes.
Barry? Manasquan Sending District items number 24. Through 39. Does anybody need anything separated out, 24 through 39?
Can you separate 33?
Okay. Why don't we do... Let's do 24 to 32. Does anything need anything separated out?
Can you take out 32?
How about 24 to 31? Good. We have a motion for items number 24 through 31.
So moved.
Mrs. Walsh, seconded by Mr. Walsh. Any discussion? Sandy?
Mrs. Pisone?
Yes.
Mr. Campbell?
Yes.
Mr. Clayton?
Yes.
Mr. Fiore?
Yes.
Mrs. Garrett Muley?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mr. Vitale?
Yes.
Mrs. Walsh?
Yes.
Mr. Walsh?
Yes.
Gary?
Do we have a motion for item number 32?
So moved. Discussion.
Mrs. Walsh, second?
Second.
Mr. Walsh? Is there any discussion?
Yes.
I think this is great, we're moving forward with this. I just wanted to ask a timeframe. I had discussed with Dr. Cajun or asked that we could get this started before the ground freezes, because by March, they're not going to be able to get this in before practice with the whole cold winter. Do we have a timeframe when TexNet will be out here to get those, even if it's not all up by then, but getting the poles in and all the stuff before the freeze?
Lynn, correct me if I'm wrong, please. I really think that this is going to be done at the conclusion of the athletic schedule for winter sports,
or
fall sports, which is football and
girls
soccer, boys soccer, field hockey, lacrosse is in the spring.
When we're done using that field before wrestling and everything, before winter sports start, so November, between 1st and 15th then?
Yeah, I'm thinking December sometime.
Okay.
Speaking with Bernie, he said that the ground, we don't have to worry about it freezing until January. Because they come in with
Piling drivers,
yes.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I just want to make sure it is in a time frame that it can get drilled and put in and up for the first practice in the spring.
And Bernie wanted to just relay my thanks from him to the board for allowing a company outside to do this, because he feels there's so much work that his guys have to do, and
okay,
he was
great.
Happy to have this done, even though it's a cost.
Excellent.
Lynn, you want to add anything to that?
Just one thing. There was a question that came up regarding after the installation in the first year, was our staff going to have to take down the net and then reinstall it? Bernie reminded me today that there's a crank system. So
okay,
all you're doing is cranking the net down and then cranking it back up. So our staff will not have to be lifted to the top of the poles. Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, I'm so happy.
Sandy?
Mrs. Bassone?
Yes.
Mr. Campbell?
Yes.
Mr. Clayton?
Yes.
Mr. Fiore?
Yes.
Mrs. Garrett Muley?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mr. Vitale?
Yes.
Mr. Walsh?
Yes.
Mrs. Walsh?
Yes.
Carrie?
Do we have a motion for item number 33? Mrs.
Second.
Walsh? Seconded by Mrs. Bassone. Any discussion? Mrs. Walsh?
On curriculum, I think these are good, and I think they really distill sort of what we talked about. I just wondered if we could say the part under curriculum, develop and implement educationally sound curricula that are aligned and promote proficiency in the New Jersey core curriculum content standards and the Common Core standards at all grade levels. And could we say, rather than address the drug and alcohol program, emphasize healthy lifestyles throughout the community, rather than saying it in a...
Absolutely.
What comes across as a negative to me.
And that would be inclusive of the drug and alcohol component.
Right.
I'm fine at board.
I would just like to see it be said in a more positive way than what can be thought of as a negative way.
So physical fitness, nutrition, and substance abuse.
Could you please give me some verbiage so we can copy that down and make it part of the motion?
Nutrition, physical exercise.
We'll just say healthy lifestyles.
That address healthy lifestyles, including, or just leave it at healthy lifestyles.
Yeah,
address
lifestyles.
And promote.
Yeah, exactly.
Address and promote.
Address and promote
healthy lifestyles. And also, in your blue folder, you have the memorandum from New Jersey school boards, which focuses on the board goals, and that's why I wanted to have this 33 set aside for that discussion, and it's in here for you. I just wanted to make sure that everything that we did talk about is here, from planning through curriculum. And if there are any other questions.
Sandy?
Mrs. Bassone?
Yes.
Mr. Campbell?
Yes.
Mr. Clayton?
Yes.
Mr. Fiore?
Yes.
Mrs. Garrett Muley?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mr. Vitale?
Yes.
Mr. Walsh?
Yes.
Mrs. Walsh?
Yes.
Carrie.
Do we have a motion for numbers 34 through 39?
Motion.
Mrs. Muley, seconded by Mrs. Bassone. Any discussion? Sandy, please.
Mrs. Bassone?
Yes.
Mr. Campbell?
Yes.
Mr. Clayton?
Yes.
Mr. Fiore?
Yes.
Mrs. Garrett Muley?
Yes, but abstain from R.J. Reed.
Mr. Pellegrino?
Yes.
Mr. Serino?
Yes.
Mr. Vitale?
Yes.
Mr. Walsh?
Yes.
Mrs. Walsh?
Yes.
Harris?
We are now next to, we are to the second public forum. Any comments on any items? Mr. Barbami?
Thank you. Rich Bartholomew, 121 Lake Avenue, Manasquan. I've heard a lot of comments in this meeting and other meetings about wanting to move forward, and I really applaud that, so I'm almost a little reluctant to bring up something from the past, but it's not a negative thing. A past board, and I won't time frame that, talked a lot about security, and even tonight we talked about safety and health and the resolution, and it comes up often. But they had talked it with some specificity about possible security changes, things like new entranceway, more cameras, windows, doors, locks, and other things. Obviously, they had given a considerable amount of thought to it. And I know it's always a money issue. What prompted me to think about this was I thought I heard last week the word security and the word referendum used in the same sentence. And that made me think about something that might be off pretty far in the future. I also know that we saved about $500,000 with the healthcare contract renegotiations. And I know that money's not gonna come back to the taxpayers except as a possible future tax increase avoidance. But not knowing where that money is, I certainly hope, and I didn't see anything specific in the goals that you had, but I certainly hope that the board will reopen discussions about security and really take a hard look at what might be done and what it might really cost, because it's an issue that I really don't want to see go away.
I think you just provided a great segue for the November meeting when the architect is going to come, much as the engineer did the last meeting. The architect is going to come with some suggestions on how to improve the interior and the facilities.
Oh, terrific.
So thank you.
Okay.
But I also would like to just compliment our staff that has worked to put in new security measures since I've been here, with the film, the 3M film that they put on the windows to stop intruders, to the card swipe system that we put in the vestibules, to the new cameras that we have installed. But we do realize that our point of entry in the buildings need to be addressed, and that's the vestibule problem that we have. So I think your comments are very timely, and I think you'd be happy with the results that you've seen from what we have done in regards to assessing our security needs at Manasquan. Thank you.
Seeing no one else at this time, does anyone on the board have any old business? Mrs. Walsh.
No, I have new business.
Okay.
I have old business.
Any business you have is good. Go ahead.
I just look at placement of students on home instruction and see that one of them is for the purposes of suspension, which is something that has always bothered me. As we move forward, is there some way we can look at an in-school suspension program?
I believe we have an in-school suspension program, Pat. I know I do read suspensions in school and out of school when I read the suspensions. I believe possibly that particular suspension might have been a special education case where within 5 days we have to have someone go to the house. I'm not sure, though, but I can research it for it. But to answer your question, absolutely. I'm much more comfortable with keeping children here. And
so that there's actually a little bit of a punishment associated with the suspension. Mm-hmm.
And I think that warrants Dennis looking at our code of conduct policy, because some might mandate that at a certain penalty would start with a suspension out of school. And I think that's very now thinking that sometimes it's better to keep children here rather than send them home. So most definitely, yeah.
It also depends on what the
depends on what the
offense is.
That's why we have to rewrite the code.
I have old business. The policy, I know we discussed whether it was going to be checked off or not. When does that?
Excellent. Was the policy approved this evening?
The policy is approved, but what's in here doesn't have the check off, so we just want to make sure that.
Right. You have two options in both policies to choose, and what it came down to was either having the principal give the right to the parent to communicate, or just have the parent notify the principal, whereby just through notification that would be. So you have both with the staff policy and the certificated staff and the non-certificated staff policy, either one of those boxes to check. And they're both the same in both policies. So last meeting we had, I asked you to take a look at the policy and just let me know which one you would like to check. So yes, I think that's great. That's great old business. Which one would you like to check? Even giving the principal permission to give the parent permission to communicate with their sibling, or just by notification of the parent to the principal, that gives that parent the ability to utilize the communications. Those are the choices.
What do you think is best for the way your business, your building needs to be run so that we're not bogging them down with minutia?
Heather, thank you very much for that, but I really believe that it should be a principal's, it's a principal runs a building, and I lease that building to the principal. You give me the building to run, I lease it to the principal, and I truly believe it's their building and he shares it with the staff. So I believe it should go through his office. So he should have the right to say if they can have that communication.
Okay.
Who knows? There might be some reason why he would want to say no, or she would want to say no. So I think it should be according to their.
Okay, so we don't need to check one off.
Well, you need to check the first one, I believe.
The first one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have two things under new business.
So the first one is. Do you need us to talk, or do we have to say yes?
Do we have to? I need to hear if you want to check the first or the second, because you have to check a box.
All in favor of one that they recommend?
Yes.
Aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed?
Anyone opposed?
No.
Okay, that's it in both policies, then we will check that. We also have in your blue folders, what I would like to do with the board is, as we make conceptual changes to the facility or also to the buildings after November, that I bring that to each board meeting so you can see what the changes are conceptually before we put it into stone. And if you can just open your blue folders and look at the schematic that you have, you can see the changes that have been made through discussions with the coaches and the athletic director on the proposed conceptual field project that we have. That's, Lynn, it's in everyone's folder tonight,
yes.
Correct?
It looks like this, and the last page is a legal size.
And I'm asking you to go to the legal size page, please. I think it was a great suggestion by the part of our athletic director, who I think does a wonderful job, to put a JV softball field down in the lower fields so you could play softball at the same time. The varsity softball field dimensions would be, if you give me within 5 feet, 215 feet to the fences, and the JV softball will have 185 feet. The New Jersey Scholastic Association of Athletics specifies that you need the minimum of 185 feet. I would hope we have some JV players that can hit the ball over that fence. I don't know if we have now. I know we have some varsity players that can hit the ball over 215 feet, which is awesome. Also, the change that he suggested, if we take a look at the three existing tennis courts, he wanted to move the tennis courts from the track section of the outdoor track, as you can see the shot put and the long jump, to the front next to the existing courts. So the coach, you can have the coach watch what was happening with the doubles as well. I don't know, and I really don't know, if we have enough room for two tennis courts there because of the wells that you have under the ground, but that's something that Edwards has to look at. And I love the big, what kind of tree is that? Is that an oak tree? Say yes.
We'll say it's an oak.
My wife's here. I want her to watch me being right. The oak tree, and I'd hate to have to cut that down. So if we can take these courts and turn them so they're in the same direction as the other ones, I think that would be a good thing. So my whole point is that I want to take changes every month and let you see them as we move forward. Any questions on these changes? We're meeting with the coaches, and we're going to meet with concerned members of the community. Yes, Donna?
So if you put that there, we're taking out that whole chunk of grass, that whole, we're not out of no grass front there then, correct?
No.
We have it in the loop.
Correct.
It's on the other side of the horseshoe.
Yeah.
And really, that's where those.
It's right here.
Well, but you are correct that these
that
tennis
whole grass
courts,
where the bike
courts.
Racks are, and all of that grass is gone then.
And that's really where they play. That they stand out there and play
I don't disagree, that's why I'm...
No, no, I don't mean they play, I mean for gym class, like when tennis is going on, they warm up there.
Yeah, but...
So maybe they could use it, play tennis.
Yeah. But that's something that we'd have to think about with the, do you want, if we might not want the tennis courts there, just bring them to you so you can see them.
And Frank, if you move those tennis courts, obviously you'll be able to practice more field events in that area. So someone needs to tell Julie about that, because we can kick it up from three events, you know?
Well, maybe, but I think that that was something that was brought to me by the coaches as well. I think the track coaches feel that's a, it's an excellent idea, and...
And it helps also with...
They were drawn in last week, they just weren't labeled.
Not all of them, Pat.
Well, no, there was tennis courts there.
There was tennis courts there in that one.
And I think it helps with javelin too, like they could throw javelin there, I think.
Yeah, and that was also some, brought that, the track coach brought that to the table, and I was surprised, I thought we'd have to throw that on the field with rubber tips, but maybe they could throw it there as well, which is nice.
I think that's what they throw currently.
Up in case the kids were javelin, they'd have a tennis court, and then he brought up that there's some kind of fiber or something that wouldn't hurt them, even though it's stuck.
Yeah, I think currently they throw javelin there, I believe, right?
And also for strategic planning, every time we have a change with the strategic planning, I'll bring that so you can add it to your binder, and I hope everybody finds that page that was sent to me late for group five. We made a copy and we hole punched it for you to put it in your binder regarding strategic planning. So as changes are made, I'll bring that to you as well. That's all I have.
We also, go ahead, Ms. Pissot.
When you're done,
No, go ahead.
I had a high school soccer player, freshman soccer player's mom call me and said that her son came home with a form that he was required to sign to be in drug testing. And she was a little confused, as was I.
As I am.
And I said I would ask tonight. I wasn't sure. She said it had to be signed in return, that he would agree to.
Is that in relation to the state tournament as far as steroids? Is that what that form is?
I don't.
That could be the. That's
she
a
didn't
great
have it with her. She she said it was drug testing.
It was the NJSISO. That's the state. Not the school.
If you make the playoffs, you have to sign that form.
Okay, very good. Thank you. And my other question was if you could ask Bernie or you guys somehow discuss the cooling issue in the TV studio, whether it be window air conditioners, fans. It is unbearably hot in there. We were up there last week and I was told that they have to actually put a light bulb on the thermostat to get it hot enough for the air to kick on. And all of that equipment in that whole studio room really needs some sort of addressing in terms of coolness. I don't know what can be done, but it's unbearable up there.
Can we address that, Lynn, and then bring an answer to the board at the next board meeting?
Yes,
committee
sir.
As a whole?
Thank you.
No problem.
So I can tell that mom to review that for net steroids for playoffs?
If that form was given to them because they made the state tournament, yes, that's mandated. It has to be signed that players cannot participate.
Okay. Thank you.
They should discuss it with their coach. I'm sure the coach can go over it.
Oh, sure. I would hope so.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
But Heather, there is a freshman, so maybe,
yes,
the coach
must
probably
be good.
Went over it.
He must be good.
Yeah.
He or she.
I don't know, but when the mother called me, I was like, what?
In response to an email received from a member of the public today, during our weekly meeting this morning, we discussed the agendas and trying to get them out in a more timely fashion. So our latest version of how we're going to put the agendas out is Fridays at 3:00, as we've been receiving the draft of the agenda to the board. That draft will then be put on the website on Mondays at 3:00 instead of waiting until Tuesday. So there'll still be changes between Monday and Tuesday, but we're going to have the same draft that the board receives on Friday will be presented to the public by 3:00 on Monday. So as always, if any board member receives the draft on Friday and has any questions or issues with anything on the agenda, you'd want to get to Lynn or Dr. Cajun before 3:00 on Monday, because we don't want to be making as many changes that people in the public, they frown upon last-minute changes if we can avoid them. So that's why you'll have the entire weekend to review it and half a day on Monday. So you can get back by 3:00. So the public knows that the agenda will be up at 3:00 Monday now instead of Tuesday.
Can I ask why 3:00 instead of 9 in the morning? Because that gives them the whole day.
Because people have to work on the agenda during the day. Is that what you meant? It gives you the opportunity to contact Dr. Cajun. No, I'm explaining it to you. It gives you the opportunity to, you'd have to contact Dr. Cajun or Lynn at some time on Monday if you had a concern with the agenda. You couldn't do that by 9 o'clock in the morning.
It's still a lot more.
I don't mean finalize it at 9. I mean, why can't it go up at 9 so people have all day Monday and Tuesday to come?
Because we're trying to, yeah.
If the board members get it at 3 o'clock on Friday, if we have a question or a concern, we need to talk to Lynn or Frank, and the agenda might change before it's put up.
The idea is to get to the public the least changed agenda that we can. We're going to give it another 24 hours, but we don't want to be making several changes because that hasn't been well received in the past.
And it gives us as board members a couple hours to discuss any concerns we might have before it gets posted.
Okay. I just didn't know why that time.
We'll try it this way, and I'm sure someone will point out if they don't think we're doing it right, and we'll go back to the drawing board again. We're going to try this way.
Can I focus on PTO quick?
Of course you can.
And last piece of new business that I have, I received this at the end of the day today, a letter from Tricia Brown, president of the Manasquan Elementary School PTO. On behalf of the entire PTO, we'd like to be able to donate a white vinyl fence for the organic garden in the back of the elementary school. The fence will be paid for in full by the Manasquan Elementary School. The PTO would also like to donate a sign indicating donors who have contributed to the payment of the fence pending your and the Board of Education's approval. I'm bringing it to you tonight, not to approve, so just you know about it. So when we get to the committee of the whole, I brought to you as soon as I got it. We will purchase the fence with the understanding that the school will install it. We look forward to making this purchase and ask that it be placed on the Board of Education agenda as soon as possible. Thank you. I was going to place it on for next week. Also, there's an email I received attached, find a letter from my PTO president. This is from Colleen Graziano, the principal, along with my memo requesting an item to be placed on next Board of Education agenda. The request is for the Board of Education to approve to accept a donation from our PTO, the donations for fence for the school's organic garden, and our maintenance people will put that fence up. And she says thank you. So I want to just bring that to your attention tonight.
Thank you. We are at the final public forum in the evening. If anybody has any comments or questions they'd like to make.
It's just that when you said a public, were we going to, and I'm not eliminating a public forum, weren't we talking about that we would just have the one after all the new business?
Correct.
So that we're not having three?
But I'm just reading the agenda then.
Okay, I know, but when should we, I know we have to make a change,
but
right?
But I think we can, if I may, I guess we board of a whole that we can discuss that.
Okay.
Dennis Roberts, Lebanon Drive in Brielle. I want to commend you on your decision for the minutes. I think that's another step that's positive and shines light on the board wanting and be willing to make changes for the better of the community and better of the board as a whole. My question is just about the drug and alcohol awareness curriculum. How can we get more information on that? We've talked about that quite a bit. I see it now in the minutes again tonight on the agenda. I apologize. What's the status of that, and what is it? Is it possible to get more information on that, and how we're going to address it?
Currently, we have our the principal of the high school as well as our athletic director. They're looking at several curriculums, and maybe we could talk about it on Thursday. I know Rick has one that he favors. However, I asked him to look at a minimum of three before he focuses on piloting one. I've asked him to focus on 10th and 11th grade because we seem to get an awful lot in freshman year. So when he's ready, I'll ask him to present to the board so we hear that. And maybe, as I said, we could discuss more about that. I'll talk to him tomorrow on Thursday night.
Okay.
So.
Great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Seeing no one else, do we have a motion to adjourn?
So me.
Mr. Campbell?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Sun. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.